So welcome again. I'm grateful that you're here. You know, Reverend Maggie and I talked about recently that we would really like you to pay attention during our lesson. I know you do. But it's really helpful sometimes to jot down any questions you have or a gold nugget that you might get from something we've said. And we're going to, in the new year, have a time where, after service, we'll be able to communicate with you and answer any questions or just hear what you have to say about what you heard. Because why we're here is to elevate your consciousness and to inspire you to think, like, do I believe that? Or how does that work for me? So that you take what we say in your own way and how it will work for you. Practical spirituality, that's what we talk about here. So, take your notes today. My talk today is Timeless Wisdom, Evolutionary Vision, and the Butterfly Journey, which I'll talk about a little later. And this month at the Centers for Spiritual Living, which we are a part of, we will explore the ancient and sacred wisdom that Ernest Holmes has given us in the Science of Mind philosophy. He drew upon many spiritual traditions and put them together, synthesized it, so that we can begin to contemplate our individual and collective consciousness. And we have the opportunity to evolve and expand our vision through these teachings, so that we can move from feeling stuck or in despair to be more hopeful and expansive in our thinking. And I know that this past year has been one of extraordinary opportunities, surprises, upsets, and possibilities. Does anybody feel like 2020 kind of threw them off a little bit, off balance? Anybody? Yeah. It's easy to lose sight of timeless principles when our lives are turned upside down. And it is those timeless principles that are at the heart of our teaching here in the Science of Mind. This is not the time for us to waver from our spiritual path. But instead, it's the time to come back to know those timeless, permanent, present us, that which is timeless within us. The truth is, we will feel off-center time to time. But there is that something within us that remains untouched by world events and circumstances. That something remains available while we continue to evolve on our spiritual journey. And what is that something? It is the creative field we call divine mind, and other names. So let us acknowledge what happened in 2020 and what we have gained, what we have lost. How did we grow? Last Sunday, I led us through a reflective process on 2020. And if you didn't hear my talk, I invite you to go back in the archives and do the process. It's really a great way to symbolically let go and move forward. So now, 2021, we have an opportunity to turn to our creativity and our intention to imagine and vision a post-pandemic reality. Wow. What do you want to feel like? What does it want to look like to you? We want to open a vision so that that holy, creative, divine mind can flow through us in an upward direction and open us to the possibilities that are available. Where do you want to grow and be going in 2021? Think about it. So I invite us to set our intention. And also, we have to take a step in moving toward that intention, right? And not to forget what causes us to dream and to create and to vision, to live and to thrive. It's that timeless, holy presence within us. That's our ticket. That's our ticket, and it's always there. In the Bible, in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "There is a power at work within us that is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine." So would you like to recommit and ground yourself to the basic foundation of what we teach here and how consciousness works? Would you like that? So with renewed purpose and intention, combining that with commitment to our basic principles of what we teach in Science of Mind, I can guarantee you something profound will happen in your life. It has to, it's the law, it's the way it works. Spirit will meet you in a new place and amplify the desire of your heart. But we have to go within and remember that. So our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote a wonderful book called This Thing Called You, which we've done many classes here on. And this was written in 1948. This sentence, or paragraph I'm going to read. "You, all of you, belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius back of this vast array of ceaseless motion, this original flow of life. You are as much a part of it as the sun, the earth, and the air. There is something in you telling you this, like a voice echoing from some mountaintop of inward vision, like a light whose origin no one has seen, like an impulse welling up from an invisible source." There's something within you that wants to transform. It's kind of like the butterfly journey that I'm going to talk about later. How a caterpillar goes to a butterfly is pretty interesting. Timeless wisdom, evolutionary vision. That's the title of this month's Science of Mind magazine, and Ernest Holmes, our founder, has an article in here just about that. And so I'm going to read a few things from that today. Ernest Holmes says, "An intelligent thinker deeply desires a way of life that shows them how to be successful in their work, their profession, how to be happily adjusted in their home, to their environment, and how to be strong and vigorous in the body and keen of mind. Above all, we seek something that will satisfy the hunger of our inmost nature, that longing for something steadfast and secure we can rely on. And whether or not we admit it, we yearn for an understandable, permanent, dependable relationship with God." It is to meet these needs which the Science of Mind principles has been written. Careful study and use of these principles will richly repay you, he says. The ability to control your experiences and have them result in happiness, prosperity, and success lies in your own mind and the way you use it. That's a basic thing we talk about here, that we're always a choice. This means you control your own experience. You are really in charge of your life and the way things develop. Take a breath with that. Let's sum it up this way, he says. My thought is in control of my experience, and I can direct my thinking. Read that again, he says. My thought is in control of my experience, and I can direct my thinking. It's an astounding statement at first, and it may seem far-fetched. Say it with me. See how it feels. Repeat after me. My thought is in control of my experience. And I can direct my thinking. Because you are a modern person with an open mind, ready to be shown what you may not at first understand or even may not seem believable, you are willing to take that statement under consideration and hear the reasons for it. That's why we do the studies and the teachings in different classes here, so that you can have that inquiry in your own mind. Physical science has proved that absolutely everything can be scientifically reduced to one ultimate invisible essence, something that cannot be contacted by the physical senses. It is therefore only reasonable, he says, to say that originally everything must have and still does come from it, with a capital I. According to one's way of thinking, different names are given to it. Energy, principle, universal intelligence, universal mind, consciousness, spirit, God. It doesn't really matter what name we use, let's just call it mind. Mind is everywhere. And after all, isn't this just the same as saying what we were taught to say in childhood? God is everywhere. And that statement may not have made much sense to you then, but now we know that the universal mind is everywhere. Therefore, it is within us. It is within us. There can be no exception to this everywhereness. This gives us the key, he says, to the whole situation and makes us understand that not only our individual minds, but our bodies as well are expressions in part of that mind. We were taught the omnipresence of God, universal mind, and also that we were made in his image and likeness. So we arrive at the conclusion that we too, at our level of understanding, possess a creativity similar to that of universal mind. You, everyone, you, are a vital part of this harmonious universe. And he says, finally, that the only way for the individual to constructively use the creativity of this invisible but everywhere present mind is by means of thought, faith, and conviction, and nothing else. You avail yourself of the creative action of mind through what you believe. Take a breath with that. Yeah. So we know in this philosophy that we have a mind that thinks. We have consciousness, and that consciousness is active. And in real ways, it's in charge of our experiences every day. Ernest Holmes said, change your thinking, change your life. It's pretty simple. Once you get that, you can reflect back on something that maybe you can change in your thinking. And do it lovingly and with gratitude, not condemning what you've said or done. The realization that consciousness is always producing something and that spirit is always moving us in the direction of our good. So when we feel off balance, when we feel upset, we can ask, if it's a specific situation, what does this have to teach me? That's a powerful question, isn't it? What does this have to teach me when we have a physical pain, when we have an upset? Instead of pushing it away, invite the question, what does this have to teach me? Because deep inquiry is a spiritual practice, and it will open us up to the wisdom of the universe, for sure. Yeah. So a caterpillar's journey. So fascinating, isn't it, to think about a caterpillar and how they transform. So I'm going to read a story from a book called Butterfly by Nori Huddle. And I want you to visualize, if we had the screen up, I'd have a little caterpillar going across, munching on the leaf, and then we have it going into its chrysalis, and then we have it coming out. So just imagine, in your own imagination. So the caterpillar reaches a certain size, and then it begins to shut down. So it's going along its little milkweed pod, there are milkweed leaves, and munch, 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 it's eating, eating, eating. And then it begins to slow and shut down. Some cells panic, and others have a vision. Hear that? Some cells panic, and others have a vision. Those with the vision are called imaginal cells. They are the ones that create vision for the butterfly. So these imaginal cells resonate at a different frequency. They're totally different from the caterpillar cells that his immune system thinks they're enemies. And so, chomp, 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 gobble, 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 he gobbles them up. But these new imaginal cells continue to appear, more and more of them. Pretty soon, the caterpillar's immune system can't destroy them fast enough. More and more of the imaginal cells survive. And then an amazing thing happens. The tiny little lonely imaginal cells start to clump together into friendly little groups. They resonate together at the same frequency. They pass information from one to another. And then after a while, another amazing thing happens. The clumps of the imaginal cells start to cluster together. And a long string of clumping and clustering imaginal cells resonating at the same frequency, they pass information from one to another inside the chrysalis. A wave of good news travels through the system. It lurches and heaves, and it's kind of messy in there, but it's not yet a butterfly. Then at some point in that chrysalis, when all this gooky stuff's going on, the entire long string of imaginal cells suddenly realizes that it is something different from the caterpillar. Something new, something wonderful. And in that realization, the shout of the new birth of the butterfly happens. Since the butterfly now knows that it's a butterfly, the tiny imaginal cells no longer have to do all those individual cell things that they have to do. Now they're part of a multi-cell organism called a family. And they share the work. So each new butterfly cell can take on a different job now. There's something for everyone to do. And everyone is important. Each cell begins to do just the very thing it's drawn to do. And every other cell encourages it to do just that. Do your job. Good way, good job. It's a great way to organize a butterfly, isn't it? Do you see the correlation to what we can experience now in a vision? What if the end of the caterpillar is happening in our own world now? Some of us are the caterpillar, munching along, chomping away. Some of us are in the chrysalis, where things are a little messy. Things are disintegrating. Things are shifting. And others are emerging as butterflies. We're all on a journey. I believe we, all of us, are the imaginal cells that we can build a magnificent new world. Rather than looking at this time with fear, can we look at it as a moment of opportunity? What if there's something wanting to be birthed that's better than it was before? What if, like the caterpillar butterfly, we can only get there by eliminating the structures as they are now, the things that don't work, individually and collectively? And it's sometimes messy. But what a vision of a butterfly. So are you willing to be imaginal cells together and vision something else? So in the Centers for Spiritual Living, they have an evolutionary vision. I'm just going to read this. See how it fits you. This is our butterfly vision. We see a world in which every person lives in alignment with his or her highest spiritual principle, emphasizing unity with God and connection with each other, which we are all called to a higher state of consciousness and action. A world in which we live and grow as one global family that respects, honors the interconnectedness of all life. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all want that. We all want peace on earth. I can't imagine there's nobody that doesn't want peace on earth. And so, Carolyn Mace has a beautiful little part about this butterfly in her book, Entering the Castle. She says, you may struggle all the way into the cocoon, but you cannot sidestep a cocoon experience if it's time for one in your life. You can choose, however, how to experience the cocoon. There's that choice again. You may be able to draw comfort from recognizing that you are preparing for emergence into the light. What if we're preparing for emergence into the light? Rather than fear that you are alone in a cold, dark place, to be able to illuminate your most painful moments with the mystical truth that you, each of you, are living a transformation in progress, which brings God into the walls of your soul. We are living a transformation in progress, inviting God into our soul. And Reverend Michael Beckwith says, as your spiritual character begins to emerge and you identify more with who and what you really are, you begin to live vibrationally in a world that most people can't see. You become an ambassador of the next stage of your energetic unfolding and the next iteration of humanity itself. We all matter. Doing our spiritual work, again, benefits everyone. What if there is luminosity in the darkness? What if everything is working together for good? And so we are invited to ask ourselves the question, whatever's going on now, what good is trying to emerge at this time? And can I welcome it? Can we open our wings? Can we open our wings and fly? Fly to that greater truth, that possibility of something wonderful emerging. If we each hold that vision, if we each rise above, the law will bring itself. So let's take that into prayer. So how good it is to be together in this community of unity, recognizing the omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience of the divine in and through everything and everyone, pulsing with energy, vibration, love, one power, one presence, one song, one heart, one. And as we breathe in this recognition of the one, I know that each of us is an individual expression, a beautiful potential of the divine, willing to open to that impulse of creativity, of peace, of harmony, of wholeness. That each of us is stepping into this threshold of 2021 with joyful anticipation, letting go of the fear, the worry, the doubt, the hesitation that has no power. There's only the power of God, love, expression. Now, claim it. I claim it. I claim it is so. Because I know for truth, the truth is that there is a power for good in the universe and we can use it. And so we are using it right now, using it for good, for the healing of our planet, for the healing of mind, for the healing of the body. And it's happening now. It is. It's happening now. Hallelujah. And so we take a breath, we relax, we just let go, open to whatever we're guided to do in this new year, to be a beneficial presence on the planet. Each of you is unique in how you're going to show up. And I bless you. And I am grateful for you. And so I release these words that are the truth, that are powerful. I release them into the law that is always working. With faith and confidence, I let go and I let it be so. And join me in saying, and so it is. Namaste.